Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Lord willing, I'd like to preach both services out of 1 Corinthians 11. This first one, I'd like to look at verses 1 to 3. And then verses 4 to 16 in the second. The Apostle Paul has dealt with many questions that the church at Corinth had concerning the order of worship, the right thing to do. Last time he dealt with eating meat offered to idols. Is it right? Is it wrong? He said it's right if it's nothing more than a piece of meat. But if you're in a service or in a situation where someone has made that meat that they've offered you somewhat of a token of their allegiance or worship to a false god, Paul said, don't do it. Don't even enter into that. We come out from among them. Or if it's going to be a hindrance to a weaker brother, don't do it. If he doesn't understand, if it causes his conscience, I don't know if that's the right thing. Paul said, don't do it. Don't let your liberty be a hindrance to someone else. We are free in Christ. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking anything that God has permitted for food. But we want to be careful not to be offensive unnecessarily. It's over the gospel. There's no compromise over the gospel. But things that just don't matter. Paul said, don't be offensive for no reason. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, whatever you're doing, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So Paul starts off, and really the last part of that last verse of chapter 10, really verse 1 of chapter 11, probably would have been better connected to that. But these chapter differences, where they're not inspired. It was just a book. It was a letter. But Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 11, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now obviously he's not saying that to exalt himself, but we've got to remember that he's speaking as one. He's an apostle. Paul has been personally called by the Lord Jesus Christ out of the sin of darkness and unbelief. And he was commissioned personally by the Lord and personally sent by the Lord. He taught the gospel. He heard the gospel. By his natural ear, yes, but oh, in his heart, he was taught by the Lord himself. Paul the apostle was caught up, the scripture says, to the third heaven, to paradise. Paradise. Now do you remember? That's where the Lord told that thief on the cross. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So for Paul to be caught up to the third heaven, that's where the glorified Christ sits. Can you imagine? I can't either. That's where the angels reside and holy, holy, holy. That's where the departed saints are, in that place called the third heaven. And the scripture sets forth that here's the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking under the inspiration of God. And he says, now you be followers of me. Take this the admonition that I give you. But he said, only as far as I follow Christ. Only as far as I speak concerning these scriptures. Now, without a doubt, going through this book, the church there at Corinth, as I said, had written Paul a letter or letters. They'd communicated with him. And they had asked his advice on these public matters concerning worship. And the reason being is because of the false teachers that had entered in and the bad principles and practices that had started to prevail. Paul, he'd said in 1 Corinthians 7:1, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. He dealt with some issues. He dealt with some things that needed to be dealt with. Things that we need to hear. He's talking about, he dealt with schisms and factions between brethren. He dealt with the issue of making the simplicity of the gospel to be the only issue. If there's an issue and it's not the gospel, then I'm going to tell you something. Just forget it. It just, we're wasting our time. If the gospel is, you know, he blamed them, you know, for allowing an incestuous person to remain in that assembly in a position of leadership. Paul said, "This, you can't, we can't do that." You know, he rebuked them for going to court, you know, between each other. They were suing one another and going before pagan judges, and he dealt with the issue of marriage and the maintenance of their ministers and like I said last time, the meat that was offered to idols. What, is that right? Is it wrong? What do you do? And so they sought the Lord's guidance and direction through the apostle, through Paul. And they obviously they had adhered to his advice. I know the scripture says, you know, obey them that have the rule over you. Your ministers, your pastors, you know, as they follow these scriptures. A pastor has been sent of God to be the ambassador. We are ambassadors for Christ. What does an ambassador do? He says exactly what the one that sent him told him to say. That's all he does. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you. Be you reconciled to Christ. So whenever Paul is speaking, he's not somebody to say, well, he's just a man. Yeah, you're right. He's just a man, but he's a man sent of God, taught of God, commissioned of God, blessed of God. And these words that Paul is speaking, the words are inspired. A man is a frail creature, but these words are inspired. So Paul said in verse 2, he said, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Now, you know, we always think of the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's table, which they kept. They kept. Now, you're going to have to deal with them. And just after this passage that we'll plan to deal with today, he's going to start dealing with some abuses that they had started to have there concerning the Lord's Supper. And he's going to deal with it again. But when he says, I praise you or I applaud you or I commend you because you remember me, you're mindful of my instruction. You're mindful of the precepts. You're mindful of the doctrine that I brought you from the Lord. I delivered unto you that which I received of the Lord. That's all he's saying when he's dealing with the Lord's Supper. But he said, I praise you that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances. You keep these traditions. You keep these instructions. What? Of how order is to be maintained within the body. We're a family right here. This is the family of God. This is a church. This is a body. This body and the bodies in different churches where we're all collectively one body. But this is a local assembly. And Almighty God has been pleased to maintain order. How is it to run? How are we to act? How we, you know, as these scriptures set forth. And this is what God has called me and other pastors to do. To set forth the truth of Almighty God. So he said, I praise you that you remember me in all things. Keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Now, Paul the apostle is getting ready to deal with another issue. And it's going to begin in verse 4. Lord willing, I'll pick it up in the next message. But I'm going to say something about verse 3. Because what he's doing is he's setting the foundation of what he's about to say. He's going to deal with. They've asked him a question. And I can tell you what the question is. They're going to ask him about whether or not it's right for a man to stand up and preach covered with a covering, hat. Is that right or wrong? And the second thing he's going to deal with is it right or wrong for a woman that it says that prayeth or prophesieth, and there were women that obviously did, that taught the children, taught other women. So is it right or wrong for one to pray or prophesy in the bounds of Scripture concerning a woman? Now, obviously, no woman is to stand up in front of a pulpit and preach to men and women. That's not right. I know the false religion's got women preaching now, and that's contrary to Scripture. That's not right. It's not right. The woman is not, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But it's not right. So, ladies, I tell you, if I'm ever gone, don't ever wonder whether or not I'll ever ask you to come up here and read Scripture or pray preach. I'm not going to do it. Okay, why? Because God Almighty has forbid it. It's not that women don't know and understand the Scriptures. They do, but there's a reason for it. I'll deal with it. I'm already into the next message, so I'm going to stop right here and go back to verse 3, what I was going to say. He said he's going to set this foundation. And here's what he said. He said, now, but I would have you know. Now, here is the foundation of everything he's going to say, starting in verse 4. I would have you know. You've received what I've said concerning all these other issues, but I'm going to have you know something. That the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, he's going to be dealing with this issue of submission. This is going to be the issue. It's going to be submission and the evidence of it. The evidence of that submission. He says, now the head of every man is Christ. Now, let me say this. Technically, the head of every individual person in this world as being the creator is Almighty God. As being the governor is Almighty God. Every person without distinction, he is the head. As Brother Scott would say, who's running this show anyway? Who is in control? God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. But especially in our passage, he's the head of every member. When it says the head of every man is Christ, That especially, he is the head of every member of Christ's body, man or woman. He's the head of all his people. Now listen to Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So he's the head. First of all, we want to understand something. Christ is the head of his body. Now we know that we all bow in submission to the Lord of glory. He who loved us gave himself for us, male and female, as far as male and female in the body of Christ. There is no difference. There's no difference as far as being members in the body of Christ. Now you listen to this, Galatians 3:26-28. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, spiritually united to him, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. So as far as being one that is spiritually superior, they're not. But as far as being found in this life, as far as being different in the setting forth of the glory of God, there is a difference. There is a difference. And the reason that there's a difference is because of the glory of God that's given unto the Lord Jesus Christ. In this sense, there is a difference because when man fell in the garden, the woman who was deceived, she was shown to be the weaker vessel. She was beguiled. She came out of Adam. God Almighty set the man forth to be the head over the woman. And she is to be in submission unto him as set forth by the Holy Scriptures. Here's what it's saying. The head of every man is Christ, but the head of the woman is the man. Is there a distinction made between a man and a woman as she pictures the church in submission to Christ? Yes. Yes. As far as being saved, God loving her, there's no difference in men and women. God loves women as he loves his men in Christ, no difference. But as far as there being a difference in their role in this life to picture and set forth the glory of God, the head of the woman is the man. Now that man is not to harshly rule over her as a tyrant. He's to love her. He's to love her. He is the man is a picture of Christ. He's a picture of Christ. This the woman who has been given the man is his wife, and the man is to provide for her and care for her and nourish and cherish and protect and defend her against all insults and injury. He was created first. Who came first? The woman, Eve, was taken out of the man to be an help fit for him. It was not good, Jehovah said, that the man should be alone. That's a mysterious thing, but that's the way it is. And God Almighty took her out of the man. Where did the bride come from? The bride of Christ. Out of Christ. Created. Eternally loved. Eternally begotten. Eternally set forth in him. And now the wife, the woman, being a type of Christ, a type of the church. The man is a type of Christ. The woman is a type of the church. And she's to be in subjection to her husband, as the man is in subjection to Christ, and she's to be in subjection to him in all things, civil things, religious things, natural things. He is her head. He is her protector. He is the one that watches over. And Lord willing, we're gonna deal with the manifestation of this in this next service. So here's the divine order of service. The head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is the man. Women, you have been given a wonderful position to be in subjection to a man that is to love you and watch over you and protect you. Men, this is the place of a husband. You take care of your wife. She's not the old lady. You respect her. I've said before, she is the queen of the house. You put her on a pedestal as Christ does his bride. He loved her. He gave himself for her. I know that we're one in Christ. There's not male, female, bond free, rich, poor. We're one in Christ. But in this life, there is a difference. And it is to be a difference that is to be manifested and held to and respected because God has set forth. And lastly, the head of Christ is God. Now, if you want to learn something about submission, here it is right here. The head of Christ is God. Now, that's a statement that we're not able. We know a few things. I can see through a glass darkly. This here's the truth of this passage right here. God Almighty, Jehovah, is the head of Christ as Christ has humbled himself to be the mediator between God and men. In his divine nature, he's one with the Father. One with the Father. But as far as being the Messiah, the advocate, he humbled himself. He is God's servant. The head of Christ is God. Here's what the scripture says. Jehovah formed him to be the mediator. Jehovah formed him. Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. This is what the Messiah said. He said, when he said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, what does that mean? That means that he was saying unto his Father, he said, the sacrifices and offerings that were in type and picture for a while, they're not going to be forever. Thou wouldest not have them continue forever. So what happened? Well, they were here until the Lord Jesus Christ came. But in the fullness of time, Jehovah clothed his only begotten Son by the Holy Spirit in human flesh. And prepared by that Spirit, that body, thou hast prepared me. What? A body? God made this body. And the Spirit of God formed that body. And now here it is. The servant made, prepared by God. And God Almighty, concerning his servant that he sent, the head of Christ is God. God the head who commissioned and sent and prepared him, anointed him. The scripture says, with the Holy Spirit, without measure. That's John 3:34. Now you think of the marvelousness of this statement. God himself humbled himself, had a body prepared him. by the Spirit of God. And the same Spirit that prepared him was given him without measure. And Almighty God, his Father, his head, the one that he submitted himself, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, if there be any way that this cup can pass from me, humble himself. And Almighty God, in the days of his humiliation, was his only help. He was his only sustainer. Why? Because God was his head, and he submitted himself to him, and he obeyed him. Listen to this. Psalm 40, verse 17. If you're not familiar with Psalm 40, you know, I'll tell you. That's that messianic psalm right there. Go back and read it. That it's speaking totally of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that scripture, he's saying things that can only be said by the Messiah. But here's Psalm 40, verse 17. Listen to what the Christ said. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Now you want to know something about submission. Here's the heart of it right here. The head of the man is Christ. And Christ, in his humiliation, has a head. It's God. God who submitted himself, being made flesh unto God. And this the head trusted him. The head, God Jehovah, who formed a body, prepared a body for the servant, gave him the Spirit without measure, commissioned him according to everlasting covenant of grace, gave him a people. And here's the thing. He trusted him. He trusted him, Ephesians 1:12 says, and commended him from heaven. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And the head, concerning his servant, Christ, the head made him to be the accepted sacrifice and substitute. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, the Father, hath made him sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The head raised him from the dead. The head received him to glory. The head seated him at his own right hand. Sit thou here at my right hand until I make all your enemies your footstool. The Father, the head, hears him now as the mediator, as the advocate, as the great high priest, as he intercedes for his people. The head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Now that is the foundation. We're going to be talking about submission. Submission. And the evidence of it in this life. You want to know what the evidence of Christ's submission was? What was the evidence of his submission? Here it is. When he cried from the cross, "It is finished." There was the evidence right there. In all things that he was commissioned to do, to finish the work, that none that the Father had given him should be lost. This is the work of God. But of all that he's given me, I should lose nothing, but raise him up. What's the evidence? It's finished. It's finished. Now in this next message, We're going to now go in to the evidence of a man in submission to Christ and the evidence of a woman in submission to her husband, all to the glory of God, all as being a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and His love for His bride and His bride's love for Him. I pray that the Lord might bless even the setting forth of this glorious foundational truth as it is set forth in these scriptures for our good and His honor. Amen. All right, let's